And this character, he could write words to a song. And he could be so insulting.
Arthur Hartshorne or?
Pardon me?
Was it Arthur Hartshorne that?
No. But Arthur Hartshorne could have been in on that. But I think it's before his time, this Wilson Averill Hack, they built a schoolhouse, added on to schoolhouse in East Warren. And they spent $10,000, and back then $10,000, an enormous amount of money spent. So they, whole town, they couldn't prove it, but they mistrusted that Wilson Averill had a finger in the pot. And he made up this song to the tune of the Yellow Painted Hack. And it went simply like this. It's a chorus. Whoa, be dandy, ah, Napoleon. He is pacer and the finest on the track. Okay, and I guess that'd be, I've forgotten how the rest I go. So we went to neighbor Estes, asked the good boy Charlie, if he'd take the ponies while we all went out back to roam along the clover to schoolhouse over. We all ride home together in the Wilson Averill Hack. That's just the general idea, but I don't know why I didn't have those. I knew them so well when I was younger, I was 3-4 verses of it. They didn't accuse him of stealing any money, but everyone heard the song thinking what they're talking about.
And I had another poem in here, too, that was written about the a mill, I showed it the other day to Emma Ford.
Okay, yeah, Emma's still around.
She didn't feel well, so I didn't stay long. But she said she remembered a lot of the people, and so did Earl Fuller. Of course, I never can find anything when I'm... Here it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Parker and Slayton?
Mm-hmm.
Lament. That's that, lament?
Yeah.
Okay. Known as the new, I guess it's the new steam mill. Okay. Okay, that'd be Plain Parker. Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's his father. Yeah, her husband's partner's father. Her husband was Parker and Ford, Emma's Ford, Lawrence Ford. Parker. Darn it, can't think of his name anyway. That his father was the one that this is about. Everyone a bummer. Mr. Brown. Now, wait a minute. Oh, yeah, okay, it's going back before my memory. I knew other people. But
mm-hmm. Never heard the song, though.
No. Claro, I guess. I see some of these names, I don't know them.
But
it is interesting.
Yeah, Rupert, I think, had a photograph of Parker and Slayton's mill with a number of the people.
Yeah, I was trying to think what Parker...
But I think you're right.
Butter tubs.
That's right.
I think. Yeah, God, that's good. Now, you don't know who wrote this.
Well, I got to look at home because I think I had another copy where I wrote down who wrote it, and I'll look up next time I come see you.
Mm-hmm. That's
isn't that,
really,
isn't
really
that
nice.
Yeah.
You see, I was reading it because knowing of. I think that's something. I can't think of his name. Anyway, done business with him a lot. But his father, he was one of the big men in town. The mill, anyone with business back then was quite important. And there was Jones. I don't know what he was butter tub do. Yeah. Bing Jones, his father. Don't know if anyone mentioned Bing to you, but. Orville Jones. He'd be same generation.
Mm-hmm.
These are my mother's generation.
Yeah.
See, that's how I happen to know of them.
Well, that's why I think Earl knew them.
Right. His father's generation.
But let's start with some of your memories of growing up on the farm. Let me turn this. And let's start with where it was. You described before up near where the Bundy is, but how big a farm? You know, what your earliest memories are, the kinds of chores you did, this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't mind.
No, I don't mind. I'm real long. I'm going back to what I can remember but earlier memories. I was born in Waitsfield, a back farm bordered on the town line of Warren. We had a farm about the size of 10 or 12 cows. Back then, of course, we used plenty of horses.
It's fine.
Strictly horse and buggy times. We didn't have too much ready money, plenty to eat. About 70 acre farm. And later we added another 90 acre farm to it. I remember not having any shoes in the summertime, didn't any of us, neither the neighbors. We started school in 1914, and there was a few cars back then, but very few. It was a novelty to hear one. We had a 10-acre flat. We hear a car, and you could hear it quite a ways. They were quite noisy. We'd run barefooted across the field, get out top of the bank to look down on the main road, Route 100. Of course, the road back then was all sand. And these cars would be chugging along about 3 miles an hour, maybe 4 miles. But it was quite a sight. And we had 4 miles to go to school, had what called actually drawn horse and buggy. Had two-room schoolhouse, well, upstairs and downstairs. Outside toilets, no plumbing. No electricity. There was no electricity in town. Just about the time it came in. And we had a potbelly stove for heat, round oak or some such type. Ugly teacher. Man, was she ugly. Her name was Mrs. Fisk. I've always loved most of my teachers, but that's one teacher I couldn't like. I got to rub a hose for something I didn't do more than once, and they didn't pat them on the hand like they do today. You always warned you're going to get the hose in the morning. So if you're smart, you wear 8-10 pair of stockings. Put a shingle in your pants. Well, that's that.
Where was the schoolhouse?
Right where the high school is now.
Uh-huh.
In 1917, during World War I, they closed the school. We had a two-year high school at that time, and they had that in the Congregational Church. And 7th and 8th grade was in a house just north of the Masonic Hall, and up to the smaller grades was in underneath the public library.
Uh-huh.
And then that's why there's 2 years, no graduating class, 18 and 19.
Mm-hmm.
No graduating class. 1920, there's only two.
I'll be
there. Yeah. Yeah, that was. Then later, times were good then, but they were simple. We had to furnish our own entertainment, all the neighbors. Neighbors were more friendly, quite apt to help you out if you're in trouble. Barefoot boy paddling around the pasture looking for a horse, and I couldn't find that horse. I went and got our cow dog. Searching a while, the dog hair stood on his back, and he was really, really scared. And scared me a little bit. I went towards this clump of spruces where he seemed to be afraid of, and here was something sticking up out of the mud up and down. Not moving very much, but that was what was of the horse. He was in a clay mud hole.
Oh my.
Just his nose was sticking out and ears, and he could move his head a little bit. That's enough to call the dog's attention. That's time we got all the neighbors. We worked for about 8 hours to get that horse out of that clay mud hole. It's just something, you couldn't drain it. We had to pull him out. We figured it might break his neck, but it's the only way to get him out. We hitched a team of horses on, pulled easy, steady and easy, and he didn't come, little. Got him out. He was a stallion, and probably one of the ugliest stallions we've known. But you know, he wasn't near as ugly after that. I guess he found out man was his friend. Yeah, he changed his attitude. Well, anyway, get along a little later.
That's incredible.
Yeah, well.
And he was right up to his.
Oh, he's in all over, completely. Yeah, all just his head sticking out. See, he tried to. Every time you move, you keep going down like you do a quicksand.
I was just going to say, it sounds
like. Right, oh, not as fast. It took him, he probably was a day or more sinking in there. So, while we speak about entertainment, we used to have kitchen tucks back in those days. That was our big entertainment for the week. I think, first of my memories, Lizzie Somerville, East Warren, had parties over there, which I enjoyed very much. And I thought she was awful rough talking old lady, but she was a good old lady. But I was brought up to damn was a swear word. Then, a little later, a man came in from the West. I can't tell you exactly what state. And he bought a town farm, East Warren, way on top of the hill. Name was Casey Jones. That man loved a good time. A wonderful man. He brought with him some Western calls for music. And there were singing calls, which we had never had here in the East at all. And the meet your partner in the middle. Well, this judge just said, kiss her if you love her, a swinger if you love her. No, wait a minute, that isn't right. Swing your partner in the middle. Okay, kiss her if you love her and leave her if you don't. All such calls as that, which they were catchy and they were tricky. They were nice. I guess of one of the first places I played with Kitchen Junkies. Then they had them every week. Casey Jones was instigator of the whole thing and the caller, the life of the party. Archie Pratt had more of them than number two from Casey, a number of them. He lived on the old Van Dusen farm, for anyone's old enough to remember him. That was probably the largest barn, had the largest barn, 125 feet long, which was unusual in those days. And we had parties from, starting from the south, the Gold Farm, Almond Gold, and then way up on the very peak of Prickly Mountain was Ralph Buzzell. He was active. He played violin, and we had kitchen punks there. Down at the foot of the Prickly Mountain, Will Bolaro, he had parties there. And we had some at, I got to stop and think, names of people. I got Skip, oh, Dan Senor's place, yes, we had parties there. And we had parties at, the next farm anyway. And we had them at David McNeil's. David used to do little tap dancing and he called in a Scottish brogue, which is unusual.
Yeah, where did he learn that?
He came from Scotland.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he came from Scotland. Then we had parties at Arthur Mobus, and the Trash place was ideal. That had an open attic. It was probably 30 feet long, 20 feet wide or wider, and it was just ideal for dance floor, regular dance hall. And of course, Lizzie Somerville's, as I mentioned before, was the next place. Then the Daniels place. I haven't missed too many places in East Warren for what we had, Kitchen Junkets.
Now, did you have him at the DeVries place as well? You said he was a great dancer.
No. He had one party. Charlie had one party, and he'd come in from, make no difference, New York State. They bought this farm, and Charlie was single, but I think he'd met his wife-to-be. The old folks left, went back to New York State for a weekend. Charlie thought it was a good time to have a party. And they had a party. I guess a good party, but little problem. Charlie never had another party that I remember. Especially as long as the old man lived. As long as Will lived, he never had another party.
But he was a great jigger, you said, or a clogger.
Yeah, he done a pretty good job at clogging, but he didn't go to stage or anything like that. I met him at parties when tease him a little bit. He'd do a good job. He was he didn't tire. He kept going. Yes, and of course, Wheatfield Common. We had kitchen trucks over there a lot. We had places back in bootleg time. Oh, I got to tell you one time. I can't think of the man's name, or it may come to me. But he hired us to play. We had four of us. And these guys, they had their own still, and they made their own home brew, and made their own wine. And they, way back under Northfield Mountain, Wheatfield, beyond Wheatfield Common, a big, big house, beautiful place. They had a nice orchard out back. Anyway, I got Kenneth Cody on the piano, Ben Shaw on the banjo, I played the fiddle, Clifford Hoskins on the saxophone. Clifford's still living somewhere in Burlington. I don't know if Kenneth is or not. Ben is gone. We lost Ben in California. And we were close to midnight. Oh, the crowd just loved come back. They came in from Barrie, all over the place. They had this particular night, they had a dance in the town hall Warren. Some people came from there over to this party and under the mountain. They said we had more than double the crowd, twice the size of the orchestra. But about intermission, I noticed a nose sticking around the corner. That's unusual, but I happened to recognize the nose. So you people are old enough, remember our deputy sheriff, Fred Eaton. He was almost as famous as Jimmy Durante. So, it put everyone wise, it's going to be a raid there. There was everything out, pretty much in plain sight. So we called intermission right then. We helped the owners. We carried round apple trees out that orchard. We hid it everywhere. They didn't find a thing. Everyone seemed to be drinking, but there was nothing to drink. Had Henry Lawson out from Montpelier. He was the county sheriff, high sheriff. Oh, those are good times. Nobody was getting hurt. Nobody's hurting anyone. And I don't think the sheriff's really wanted to catch us in the first place.
How young were you when you first started playing for Kitchen Junkets?
I started playing a second fiddle with my brother, Howard. He played first, I played harmony when I was about 10. My sister played accordion and organ, if they had one. Accordion while there was no organ.
And how did you learn? From your father or?
Oh, my mother had a violin and I just sat down and strictly by ear until I got into high school. Then the music teacher made me. Every now and then, hey, Long, you're playing by ear. I cheat a little bit. Now then, going back about the time I started playing fiddle, end of World War I. Dad was going down to the burning of the Kaiser. Oh, Dad, can I go? Yeah, if you let me go. I had my own way most time anyway. So I went down. Elton Farr, he was an electrician in town. That time we had electricity and telephones were going in. Most of them were up. Elton Farr owned the Wheatfield and Payston, Moortown Telephone Company. So he was the center of activity, the leader of activity. They made Kaiser Bill out of straw. They painted his mustache and it looked a lot like him. And they had him hung by the neck and a big bonfire. And they had this in the square by Downer's Restaurant. They had pitchforks. I thought it was a little cruel, hanging him, burning him, and then they had to jab him with pitchforks. Everybody was almost crazy with their actions. And well, being a kid, you know, I understood it, but I thought they carried it a little too far. But that was the end of World War I.
Did they do that all over, or this was...
Well, I imagine they did. The country went hysterical. We didn't actually win the war, they just agreed to stop. And Germany wasn't hurt at all. When we got ready to go on German soil, let's have a halt. They were ready to come back at us. Well, we had student government back then in high school. The students would handle the assembly hall. You always have a character now. I was thinking of a classmate of mine, Merlin Moriarty, Irishman, and he could act like an Irishman. He was, this particular time, he was president of the assembly hall, in charge. And at the end of the day, you always, are there any announcements to settle the day? And if there wasn't, you dismiss the assembly. Merlin gets up, he raps on the desk. Be there any announcements? Principals, the English teacher stopped the proceedings then. Merlin, are there any announcements? Not be there any announcements. Try it again. She goes back, stands with the teacher in the back room. Is there any announcements? Leave it to the Irishman. We had, Andy Baird had a band, a good band. And he played for this before I started mine. He played for high school dances. He had a caller, Riley Moulton, very famous, known all over the state. And Riley liked to drink a little bit. Of course, that back in those days, you were salted if you were caught smoking a cigarette, and drink was taboo. You just no drink at all for the high school kids. But there was a little that night. Somebody called George Wallace. He was school director. And told him there was drinking going on and terrible things. George gets in his car in this winter time, and he had a big fur coat. And Riley was up on the stage just intermission when George entered high school. Riley was going through some of his antics, and he's talking to the orchestra, and turned around. The orchestra hadn't come on the stage yet, and just to be funny, hey, where's the orchestra? Just then, George Wallace came through the door of that big fur coat, and the fur coat flew like this. We had one teacher almost passed out, scared us all. That was some fearsome sight when old George came through that door swinging that big fur coat. Even Riley was scared. No, I guess that takes care of most of the things that are important I haven't even thought of. That's the way it was reminiscing, you know.
Yeah.
You reminisce with someone else who was with you there, and brings up other
it
memories,
does.
Other things.
Yeah, it does.
Carry water, dump it in the mud hole. During the day, they'd have an ox team out there, pull the cars out, or whatever. That was the first of the cars, but they had 21-inch wheels. Oh, I guess some of them had 24-inch wheels, real high wheels, and they could go through a lot of mud. That'd be...
Yeah, he was very interesting about well, as I say, driving the milk truck, and then all the different things that he did.
Yeah, so Almond was back that time. I was out of town. I wasn't around here.
Well, now, you had Howard, and you had a sister.
I have Howard is the oldest. Letty was second. Letty's passed on. Howard's gone. I'm third, Thurl. And Letha, she's still alive. She's 81. And Edith is alive, but she had a little stroke, but coming along pretty good. She's next. Then Charlie, and he passed on 2-3 years ago. Everyone knew Charlie. And Maxine's my baby sister. There's seven of us.
Gosh, now did they all play, or?
No, yeah, Charlie did a little later years. Three of us mainly. Maxine played piano some, but not to dances or anything like that, just for her own amazement.
Yeah. Right. And did your mother and father play at kitchen?
Mother, no. Oh, but played the house parties. Played neighbors, you know, neighbors have a party. Dad played the organ, mother played the violin, dad sing. Dad had a wonderful voice. A very good voice for those times, because there's no amplification. He had a very strong voice. The type of voice, if you keep talking to someone out here in Dooryard, you'd be able to mirror, you understand everything he said.
That's
you
know, it's great.
Difference. There's other people have a loud voice, maybe sharp voice, but you couldn't understand them 10 feet away. You know.